Let's try that again. Welcome, everyone. How are the early risers doing? Man, you guys are ready to go. So grateful for you getting up early to worship with us. And I just want to congratulate all those of you that were water baptized in this service. Very cool. You know, we do these baptisms every other month. And so if you are a follower of Jesus and yet you've never been water baptized, you'll have another opportunity 2 months from this weekend. So make sure you look in your bulletin. There's a class on baptism. We want you to make sure that you know what the Bible says about baptism and so forth before you do that. By the way, if this is your first time here, my name is Brian Anderson. This is my wife, Thora. We're going to be giving the message in just a moment. Oh, brother. She always gets the biggest cheer. Anyway, before we do that, two things. If you have a Bible with you, I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 16. Click on your phone or your tablet. Genesis 16, our text today is going to be verses 1 to 13. And then we're also going to receive the offering before we get into the message. So if I could have the ushers please come forward. And as they're coming forward, I just want to, you know, thank those of you that give to God through our church on a regular basis. Remind you that when you do that, you're just helping so many people in so many different ways when you give to God. You know, the youth, you heard about the youth last week, and didn't, if you were here last week, and didn't the youth, portray themselves fantastically last week, and it was so great. If you weren't able to see that, make sure you go online if you weren't able to be here. Our youth is in great hands. And our youth had a paintball outreach this past weekend, and we had a single mom spa day yesterday where we served 150 single moms or so. So when you give financially to God through our church, you're just helping so many people, feed people, clothe people. And so as you give, may God bless you in doing that. Let's pray and ask God to bless the offering, but let's also pray and ask God to speak to us out of the scripture today as well. So would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this opportunity to worship you through the giving of our finances. And God, as we do that now, we pray that you would take the money that we give, whether we gave it online earlier or whether we give automated or whether we give right now in the offering bag, Lord, I pray that you would take the money that we give and you would use it to glorify the name of Jesus and you'd use it to help all kinds of people. And as we look into the scripture in just a moment, God, we do pray that you would speak supernaturally out of the Bible to us. I pray for myself, I pray for Thora, I pray, God, that you would really empower us and anoint us, that you would use us, God, to teach your word in a way that glorifies you. So come and have your way, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we started a new series a couple of weekends ago called Families Are Messy. This is about families, obviously. This is about relationships. And what we're doing in this series is we're looking at the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, we're looking at the patriarchs. That means Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And we're also looking at the lives of their wives, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. And so I want to begin by asking you this question. Has everything in your life, at least up to this point, turned out exactly the way that you wanted it to? Can anybody here raise their hand and say, my life has turned out exactly the way? No, none of us can say that, can we? We've all had disappointments in life. We've all had things that we might even think about as shattered dreams. Maybe several shattered dreams. You know, for Abraham and his wife Sarah, they had a shattered dream. And their shattered dream was the inability to have a child. They dealt with infertility. They weren't able to get pregnant. That may not be your shattered dream. Maybe your shattered dream is that you've been wanting to get married and it just hasn't happened. It's the absence of a spouse. Maybe your shattered dream is the death of a spouse. Maybe the death of a loved one. Death of a child, something like that. Maybe your shattered dream is that you've been praying for a loved one to come to know Jesus, and maybe you've been praying for a long time, and yet it seems like they're as far away from God now as they've ever been. Maybe for you, your shattered dream is more vocational. You've never been able to get the job or get on the career path that you always thought you would do. Or maybe for you, your shattered dream is physical. You're not as healthy as you'd like to be. Maybe a loved one is not as healthy as it'd like to be. Maybe a loved one got cancer. Maybe you have cancer. And so your shattered dream has to do with your physical situation. Maybe you're still married, but your marriage isn't the way that you thought it would be when you got married. It's a shattered dream. But the truth is, there's no one in life who sees all their dreams in this world fulfilled. No one. You know, some of you know, if you know Thor and I personally, you know that we experienced a shattered dream in our life. We experienced several of them. But one of the major shattered dreams that we experienced was the shattered dream, like Abraham and Sarah, the shattered dream of infertility. We dealt with infertility very specifically in our life for about a little over 15 years. It's incredibly painful. Thora had multiple surgeries. She was on all kinds of different drugs. In fact, we basically tried just about everything we could do in order to have a biological child, but it never worked. It was incredibly painful. And it was also during a time in our church where it seemed like every other couple in our church was getting pregnant, except us. It was certainly a big shattered dream in our life. And so the question is this: what do you do when you have a shattered dream in your life? That's what we're going to talk about today.
Let me just clarify that the drugs I took were legal. Legal drugs, okay.
Most of them were legal.
Yeah. Not that it wouldn't have been willing to, anyway. Okay, let's go to Genesis 16:1. When you're desperate, you're going to do anything. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. We need to understand that the inability to have a child in the ancient world was even a greater disaster than it is today. Now, don't get me wrong, it is a tragedy today, as we know personally, to not be able to have a child when you want that more than anything else. Even the Bible confirms that infertility is an unquenchable emotion. Proverbs 30, starting in verse 15, says there are three things that are never satisfied. No, four that never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, the thirsty desert, and the blazing fire. Never satisfied. So if you have family members or friends in your life going through infertility and you're thinking, can you just get over it? We need to have grace. I believe this applies also to many unmarried women who long for children and a family, and it's just not happening. It's the slow death of your dreams. It's never satisfied. And as Brian just said, we experienced this for years and years, but I believe it was even worse in the ancient world. And why? Because there were no other outlets for women in the ancient world. There were no other outlets for feelings of success or self-esteem for a woman who could not conceive. It wasn't like Sarah could say, you know, I can't have kids, but I think I'll become a teacher and help kids, or a doctor. Maybe I'll own a small business. You know, I can't have children, but I'm going to travel more. I'm going to volunteer at my church. I'm going to spend more time with friends. You couldn't do that back then. The inability to have a child in the ancient world basically meant, for a man, your family line stops. It does not go on. But for a woman, it meant your entire life is a failure. Now, Abraham and Sarah lived in an agrarian culture. And I grew up in an agrarian family. My father raised beef cattle for our living. And our livelihood revolved around cows having calves. That's your income. And the cows that did not produce, they're sold. You do not spend another year's feed on a cow who does not produce. You may know those cows by this name, Hamburger. All right. Now, because I couldn't have kids, I remember going through this, and I said, you know, if I were to write a book about my life, I would call it, If I Were a Cow, I Would Have Been Sold by Now. But the good news is I'm not a cow. Somebody give me an amen fast. Okay. You know, when you have a shattered dream of some kind, oftentimes those feelings of failure come in. And you start to lose hope about your future because your situation keeps not changing. And this feeling of failure and this loss of hope is even compounded for a follower of Jesus because you're thinking, what is God doing in my life? When it's not 1 year, but it's 5 years, and it's 10 years, and it's 15 years. Let's look at Genesis 16:2. So Sarai said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. Now, not to be too hard on Sarai, she is having this never-ending feeling. And she's willing to do anything. And I know that feeling. It's like, I'll do anything. I'll take any drug. I'll have any procedure. But I want this thing more than anything. And Sarah's saying, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. And on one level, she's talking about the sovereignty of God. God has prevented me from getting pregnant, she's saying. Now, God is sovereign and in control. But on another level, she's saying what many couples who experience infertility feel, which it affects about 1 in 8 couples in the United States, and what so many people with any number of shattered dreams feel, and that is that God is somehow judging me. God is deliberately keeping me from my dream. He could make this happen if he wanted to. God is keeping me from getting pregnant. God is keeping me from finding a mate. God is holding back financial blessing. And sometimes we think we know why God is doing this. Because deep down, sometimes we feel like we're getting what we deserve. We think God is keeping his hand to us closed because of some particular sin we committed in the past. We might think God is punishing us because of some unique way we messed up. Now, that was the view in the ancient world regarding a woman's inability to conceive. And unfortunately, it's still the view of much of the world today. But the truth is, that is not the truth about God. And it's not the truth about the Bible. If we're going to address the shattered dreams in our lives, and especially the shattered dreams of something like infertility, we have to get past the thinking that this particular problem I have is the result of me messing up some way in the past. The fact is, we don't know why God allows certain things to happen the way they happen. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. And we don't know why. But there are also lots of good things that happen to good people and bad things that happen to bad people, and again, we don't know why. Take this issue of infertility. I know amazing couples in our church, wonderful people, would make wonderful parents, following Jesus. They have integrity, and yet they can't conceive. And then you can read stories about women who sell their children into prostitution to get more crack. I remember myself when I was teaching high school having a conversation with this one young girl. She was about 16 years old before school one day, and she was telling me very casually about the abortion she had just had because she didn't want to be pregnant. It was her second abortion. And your mind says, why in the world would she be able to conceive? What is going on here, God? And many of you, with whatever situation you've had deep down, when you're by yourself, you've said to God, why in the world would you allow this to happen? There doesn't seem to be any kind of correlation between a person's goodness and following God, or their badness and possible rejection of God, and their inability to have children or a shattered dream. We don't know why women who have obeyed God don't find a godly husband. And why some women who sleep around all the time do find a husband, and sometimes a really good husband. We don't know why some honest workers get fired and some corrupt workers get promoted. The bottom line is, we simply don't know. God does not tell us. God is silent about this. We don't know why a hurricane strikes New Orleans. We don't know why an earthquake hits Nepal and maybe 4,000 people get killed. We'll never know this side of heaven, the answer to so many questions. So if we're not going to know why we have shattered dreams, then how do we respond to our shattered dreams? How do we respond to the shattered dream of not being able to have a child or find a spouse? How do we respond to the shattered dream of huge health issues? How do we respond to the shattered dream maybe of a child who's gone to prison? There are lots of ways we can respond to shattered dreams.
One way that we can respond to shattered dreams is that we can become bitter. That's what Sarah did. Look back at verses 3 to 5. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarai, with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abram, "This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she's treating me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me." The New American Standard says that last line, "May the Lord judge between you and me." So what did Sarah do when Hagar got pregnant? She blamed. She blamed Abraham first, and then she blamed Hagar. And ultimately, who she was blaming is God. And because she was blaming God, she began to get bitter. And that's one of the ways that we oftentimes deal with our shattered dreams. We allow ourselves to get bitter. But see, bitterness poisons our soul. Bitterness poisons everything around us. Bitterness makes us focus on what we don't have. I don't have a spouse. I don't have good health. I don't have a good job. I don't have a child. Instead of all those things that we actually do have. And when we become bitter, what happens is that our souls, they begin to shrivel up. And we begin to implode in on ourselves. And all of us have seen people like that. All of us know people that can hardly speak without complaining about something. They're miserable because they're bitter, and they sow misery everywhere they go. So that's one way we can respond when we have a shattered dream. We can become bitter. Second way is we can become fatalistic. Now, fatalism is the philosophy that says, what's happening around me right now, this shattered dream that I'm going through, it's actually predetermined. This is my destiny. This is my lot in life. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm just a pawn in the hand of God, and I cannot change my fate. That's fatalism. But you know, I found even as followers of Jesus, oftentimes we get fatalistic in our thinking. We start to think that this horrible thing that's happening to me, you know, this shattered dream, well, it must somehow be God's will. Well, you need to know there are a lot of things that happen on this earth that are not God's will. That's why Jesus told us to pray that God's kingdom would come and God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, because it's not being done on earth 100% like it will one day when Jesus comes back again. So be very careful about getting fatalistic when you're going through any sort of difficulty, any sort of shattered dream. And then the third way that we can respond to shattered dreams is that we can take control. And that's what Sarah did next. She first got bitter, and then she began to try to take control. Look at verses 2 and 4. So Sarai said to Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from having children, so go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal, and so Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. Now you need to know that this use of a servant girl, a slave, in the ancient world to have a family through, have a child through, was actually a very common practice in the ancient world. Not just with the Israelites, but this practice shows up in the Babylonian Code of Hammurabi, which was written about the exact same time. And so if a wife couldn't get pregnant, oftentimes what she would do is she would take one of her slave girls and she would allow her to have sex with her husband. And if the slave girl became pregnant, it was understood that the biological mother of the child would not be raising the child. The wife, in this case Sarai, would be raising the child. Now, before we look at the problem with Sarah's plan of taking control, we need to notice that there's something good about what Sarah did. I've written it on your outline. It's good to not be passive in the face of our problems. You know, it's good to face our problems, our shattered dreams, head on and say, you know, I'm not just going to lie down about this. I'm going to do something about this problem. We have a marital problem. It's a shattered dream. I'm going to do something about this. Let's get some counseling. Let's do something. I'm going to do something about this financial problem. I'm going to do something about this addiction. I'm not just going to allow this to go on in my life year after year after year. See, there are lots of good activities that we can do to help change our life. We are not just to lie down and accept whatever situation we find ourselves in. No, we can act on it. But there's another kind of activity that we see in Sarah. It's an activity that's mingled with unbelief. It's an activity where a person says to themselves, you know what, I can't really trust God about this particular situation.
When we have some kind of shattered dream, there really are two types of activities we can get involved in. One of them is the way to peace, and that's the kind of activity that says, I'm going to walk out this change in my life. I'm going to walk out this shattered dream, and I'm going to do it with you, God. I'm going to choose to trust in your goodness. I'm going to rest in you as I walk out my life. And you can walk through the shattered dream relying on God the best you can. One of the many years we went through infertility, and you can set your mind on all kinds of things. I did a Bible study on hope, and I wrote down every scripture in the Bible that has to deal with hope. There are a lot of them. But my summation, again, after reading that, was that sometimes not the answer to our problem is our hope, because we may never get the answer to our problem, but Jesus is our hope. He's our only hope, regardless of what the situation is. And one of my mantras over and over during those years was, I don't understand, but I trust you, God. And sometimes that's all you can say. I don't understand, but I trust you, God. Now, there's another kind of activity you can get involved in when you have a shattered dream, and that's where we try to take our lives back from God. And I've tried that too to some extent. It's full of suspicion that God simply cannot be trusted to provide for you the way you should be provided for. It's full of suspicion. God's not going to give me what I want, so I'm going to do my own thing. And I can do that by either turning my back on God, or I can do it by totally trying to take things into my own hands. The second kind of activity never ends happily. Trying to take our life back from God never ends in a happy way. It didn't for Sarah. Look at verses 5 and 6 again. Then Sarai said to Abram, this is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me. Abram replied, look, she's your servant, so deal with her as you see fit. And let me just say, he was probably thinking, you're actually the one who suggested this, but he's a smart enough man not to say that right then, okay? Yeah. Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. The problem with us trying to take control from God is that we are limited. We don't know everything we need to know about the future in order to make a good decision. Sometimes we try to take our life back from God, maybe in order to find a mate, and we end up with the wrong one because we were short-sighted. Or as in this situation, the surrogate, Hagar, turns on Sarai, and filled with pride, she lifts herself up against her. Hagar begins to despise Sarah because Sarah is barren, and Hagar produced not only a child, but a son that was very prized. Hagar is completely insensitive to Sarai's plight. When we have a shattered dream, one of the main problems we deal with in the shattered dream is dealing with the insensitivity of other people. Sometimes we are so unhelpful to each other when somebody is going through a shattered dream. And it's even that way in the church. The fact is, I think most people really are well-meaning, and they want to do something, and they want to say the right thing. But sometimes we don't know the right thing to say, and so we say exactly the wrong thing because we feel like we need to say something. So we blurt out what comes into our mind. We see a couple who doesn't have any children, and we say, "Don't you guys want children?" And maybe they're dying inside, or maybe they've chosen not to have children. Or maybe they only have one child, and they can't get pregnant again, but they don't go around telling people, and we say, "Don't you guys want another kid?" Or we say to someone who's not married, "Don't you want to get married?" And the person's thinking, you know, maybe they've made a choice to live a celibate life, but, you know, and maybe they're thinking, you know, it's not all up to me. Or we say to someone who's not married, you know, "Just stop looking for a spouse, and when you stop looking, you'll find one." And the person saying this was 19 when they got married, and you're 36 or 40 and never been married, you know. I think of things people said to us over the years that they're trying to say something back, but it's like, "Well, just relax. When you guys relax, you know, you're going to get pregnant. Take a vacation." I'm thinking, it's been 10 years. Do you think we haven't had a vacation in 10 years? But if you adopt a child, then you're going to get pregnant. That happened to my sister. It's not, yeah, you know, because we're just trying to say something. "Take my kids. They're driving me crazy." Well, your kids may be driving you crazy, but that's not a good thing to say to someone who's experiencing such pain. When Brian and I remember one of the years, I think we'd probably been trying to get pregnant for at least 10 years, 12. And a woman in the church who had been married about the same time and had 5 children said to me, "I know exactly how you feel." I'm like, "Really? I don't think so." Now,
they're not close friends.
Yeah.
At least anymore. Just kidding.
Just kidding. People say things not because they're trying to be insensitive. We're just sometimes not thinking ahead. You know, and I'm married to Brian, so I have to be nice and watch what I say back to people. Unless I was on heavy infertility drugs, in which case I probably said things I shouldn't have. Seriously, though, sometimes at funerals also are places where other Christians can be harmful instead of helpful, and I think especially at a child's funeral, things sometimes I've heard Christians say, you know, "God must have wanted another angel," or, you know, "He was too beautiful for this world." When someone's whole life is devastated, my personal opinion is that it's better to say nothing than say a Christianese cliche. The fact is, we don't have to have the answer for everybody's problems. It's best just to say, I love you, I'm here for you, I am so sorry you're going through this. So let's see what happens next in Genesis 16:7. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. The angel said to her, "Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going?" Take a step back, get perspective. "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her authority." The angel saying, "Do the godly thing anyway, do the right thing." Then he added, "I will give you more descendants than you can count." And the angel also said, "You're now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael," which means "God hears, for the Lord has heard your cries of distress." God is in control. God sees us. Verse 13, Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, "You are the God who sees." One of the keys to our shattered dreams has to do with our focus. Where is our focus? Sarah's focus was on her lack of a child. Her focus was on controlling this issue in her life and finding an answer. Hagar's focus was on Sarah's mistreatment of her. For us today, we can take a step back and ask ourselves, where is our focus? Is it on a God who sees us?
To help us sort of figure out where our focus is, there are a couple of questions that we can ask ourselves whenever we're suffering from some sort of a shattered dream. The first one was actually suggested by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. over 50 years ago. He said this, "Is there any way that I can turn this problem, this shattered dream, into an opportunity?" You say, well, what do you mean? Well, you have some sort of shattered dream. Let's say it's a health shattered dream. And because of this health issue, you're going to be in the hospital for the next 2 weeks, going over some, you know, going through some procedures and so forth. Well, you can respond like most people would respond and just be miserable the whole time. Or you can do your best to try to be joyful about this and think to yourself, you know, I'm going to be in the hospital for 2 weeks anyway. Is there some sort of an opportunity that God might give me out of being in this bad situation? You know, what are some things that I can do while I'm in the hospital, just laying in that hospital bed? Well, one thing I could do is I could pray. I could use that time for God by praying for all the people in my small group every day. And all the people in my neighborhood, praying for them to come to know Jesus if they don't know Jesus. I could pray for all the people in my family, all my friends. I could take this you know, bad situation and look for an opportunity. Or maybe while I'm in the hospital, I should take a risk. And maybe just between me and God, I'm going to take a risk and I'm going to try to share my faith in Jesus with every single person who waits on me in the hospital. All the medical techs, all the people taking labs, all the, you know, nurses. I'm going to turn this into an opportunity. Or maybe your shattered dream has to do with, like Thor and I, you weren't able to get pregnant. And so is there an opportunity? Could you say, you know, while I'm waiting to get pregnant, trying to get pregnant, are there any other children that God might want me to pour my life into while this is going on? Or maybe you're unmarried and you want to get married or remarried. Not everybody that's unmarried wants to be married or remarried, but some people do. And so let's say that you are, that's your shattered dream. You want to be married, you want to be remarried, whatever. Why not look for an opportunity? You know, while you're looking for a spouse, while you're looking for God to bring the right person, say to God, God, are there ways that you want me to invest my life in the good of other people? Again, it goes back to our focus. What's our focus on? Is my focus on my shattered dream, what I don't have? Or is my focus on, you know, how I can turn this shattered dream into some kind of an opportunity? And by the way, part of turning a shattered dream into an opportunity is making sure that you take time to think about and thank God for the blessings that you do have. You know, so often when we're going through pain, all we think about is what we don't have. But if you're going to turn your shattered dream into some kind of an opportunity, you have to begin thinking about the blessings you do have and then begin thanking God for the blessings that you do have. That will help your focus be in the right place. So is there any way I can turn this shattered dream into an opportunity? That's one question to ask ourselves. The second question is this: who is God for me? Who am I believing God to be? You know, like Thora shared earlier, is God for me the kind of God who's trying to get even with me? And so he's withholding a child. That's why we're not getting pregnant, because of some past sin, because of some past evil in our heart. Is that who God really is? You know, because I can't get married, is God trying to teach me a lesson? You know, is God trying to teach me a lesson through this physical malady I'm going through? Is God trying to even the score in my life? The fact is, God has already evened the score by paying for all of our sins. Jesus Christ evened the score for every human being when he died on a cross for all of our sins. And so you don't have to worry about God ever trying to even the score in your life. And the fact is, the same God who revealed himself to Hagar wants to reveal himself to you right in the midst of your shattered dream. Look back at verse 13. Hagar said, "You are the God who sees me." Do you know God that way? Do you know that God is the God who sees you? Because he does. And he not only sees you, but he sees you with compassion. You are the God who sees me and you want to bless my life. You're the God who sees me and you want to turn this pain into something good. You want to redeem the mess of my life. See, that's who God really is. Oftentimes we don't realize that's who God really is, but he is. He's the God who sees. And he wants to redeem whatever mess we have in our life. In fact, I've written there that last thing on your outline. Your heavenly Father sees you with eyes of love and compassion. And no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what kind of shattered dreams in your life, God only intends good for you. And he wants to bring comfort, he wants to bring ministry, he wants to bring love and care in your life. Turn to him. He's the God who sees. Would you pray with me? I don't know what shattered dream you might be going through right now, but we all have them. Maybe for you, it's like us. Maybe you're dealing with infertility, and if that's the case, I am so sorry. It's incredibly painful. Maybe your shattered dream is vocational. You've just never been able to get the kind of job or on the career path that you always dreamed about. Maybe your shattered dream is a health issue. You know, lots of us are dealing with aging parents. Maybe that's your shattered dream. Never thought you'd see your parents in this situation. Maybe your shattered dream is that you really do want to get married, or maybe you've been divorced for a long time. You'd love to get remarried, find a godly man, find a godly woman, and it just hasn't happened. It's a shattered dream. God sees you. And he cares. He cares about the anguish of your soul. He really does. And he wants you to turn toward him. You know, maybe you've allowed yourself to get bitter. Maybe even toward God deep down. You know, there are just so many things, like I said, in this world that are not God's will. God's will is not being done 100% on earth as it is in heaven. It will be one day when Jesus comes back, but that day is not here. Maybe you need to say to God, "God, I'm sorry. I don't want to be a bitter person. God, is there something that you're wanting me to do in the midst of this difficult situation? Or are you wanting me, like Thora, just to say, 'God, I don't understand. But I want you to know, God, I trust you.'" I trust you and I will walk with you hand in hand. I know you'll walk with me as we walk through this valley of the shadow of death. And I will fear no evil because you're with me. Maybe you need to say, God, is there some sort of opportunity that you're wanting me to look for as I walk through this difficult time? Is there an opportunity? Can I turn this into an opportunity? You know, one of the best things we can do when we go through a shattered dream is we can have people pray for us. You know, that happens in our small groups. We share what's going on. People lay their hands on us. They care for us. They pray for us. That's what happens here every weekend after service. We always pray for people. And so if you have some sort of a shattered dream that you'd like someone to pray for you about, we certainly want that to happen today before you leave. You know, I especially want those of you that may be dealing with infertility. Man, would you come after the service and have somebody lay their hands on you and pray for you and ask God to grant the desire of your heart? I was just reminded again on how God so often does that. So, you know, so many times a shattered dream you have is what somebody else wants you to pray for them about, their same shattered dream. And oftentimes God will use you to actually bring fruition to what they're wanting. And it was the same thing you wanted, but for whatever reason, it didn't happen for you. You know, Thor and I have prayed for lots of couples over the years that were not able to get pregnant. And as we prayed for them, they were able to get pregnant. We weren't able to, but man, what a blessing to be involved in that. I was just reminded recently, we're in a meeting in Chicago and somebody from New Orleans said, you know, when you and Thora came and did that conference at our church, you don't remember probably why my wife and I weren't able to get pregnant. And you guys prayed for us. It was about 2 years ago. And just a few months after you prayed for us, we got pregnant and we now have a 1-year-old or whatever. And I was like, that is so cool. So if that's you, man, I hope you'll get prayer today. But if you have any other kind of shattered dream, I hope you get prayer. You know, next weekend is Mother's Day weekend, and we're having free family photos here before and after services. Man, what a great opportunity. Bring your family, bring your moms. Moms, bring your kids that don't normally go to church. Put the guilt trip on them. Come on, get them here for a family photo. I'm going to continue talking next week about family mess. Kind of go right along with what's going on, having our families together. And I think it's going to be a great time. So make sure you're here next weekend. If you're a guest on the way out, don't forget to stop at our guest welcome. We'll have some pastors and leaders there. I'd like our ministry team, if you would come to the front, and I'd like everybody to stand. And I just want to pray a blessing over you before you go. Would you open your heart to God right now? God, I pray for everyone here that's going through some sort of a shattered dream right now. I pray, God, that you would come supernaturally and touch them. Touch them in their emotions. Touch them in their mind, in their thinking. God, if there's demonic attack against them, I pray you'd break the power of that in this shattered dream in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let them know how much you love them and how much they matter to you and how much you care. Help us to turn toward you, God, through our shattered dream, in our shattered dream and not away. And I pray as we go our separate ways, God, that you would bless each one here. Bless them with more of your presence in their bodies, in their minds, in their souls. Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor to them, God, and give them peace now as they go. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Say hi to some people around you before you go. If you don't know them, introduce yourself. God bless you. Have a great rest of your week. If you would like to receive prayer, just come to the front.